Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all dear family that are joining us in the room. I apologize. We're just having a little bit of technical trouble, but by God's grace, the Lord is going to work it out. Well, Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful, very chilly, but beautiful day on this side of our state. On this Sabbath, February 25th, 2023, this is a part two review of our chapter 76 entitled Judas part three of our lesson 376. I hope everyone can be able to see the presentation in the room, dear ones. We're going to ask our dear brother to continue to bless us with the singing of a tiny thought hymn, Don't Forget the Sabbath.
Don't forget the Sabbath. The Lord our God hath blessed, of all the week the brightest, of all the week the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine, its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today, who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he'll give us a fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art, how precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little ones, tiny thoughts, will be able to pray to open their review section with prayer by the help of their parents or even the elder sibling, may you mute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Thank you, God, for living for the Sabbath. Please protect us. Please protect the Sabbath day. Please protect the words that were God for learn. Please protect the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, dear ones, Sabbath blessing, Sister Shaka. We are so grateful that you are here with us. This is the section, dear ones, that we are going to hear all the little blessings that our little tiny tots and toddlers or a little older children has a testimony that the Lord had placed some words and songs in their heart. And I have incorporated so you all could be able to hear just in case if the mic is not clear enough. And our dear family will be the one to share.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. On today's Mommies and Daddies Little Blessings, or Mothers Little Helpers, we mentioned about 2 weeks ago that the Lord had put a song in Emma's heart, and a poem and a song in Haley's heart. By the grace of God, he has given Emma the melody for the song that she just started singing. And so we wrote it down and practiced it a little. And so Haley and Emma is going to share with you the song that was given to her. And then Haley is going to share the poem that she's waiting for to learn the melody for, and share that with you all as well. So Haley and Emma, please feel free to take it away with Jesus is the Bible.
Emma's song.
Jesus is the Bible. Jesus is the Bible. Jesus is the Bible. He is the Bible for the world.
We love that he's the Bible.
We love that he's the Bible. We love that he's the Bible.
The guide for the world. Thank you, God. Amen. And that is the song that the Lord has placed in little Emma's heart. And we pray that this is not only the one song, but as she grows in his grace, that he will continue to bless her with words and place them in her heart so that it could be shared with others as well. And now this is the song that was placed in Emma's heart, in Haley's heart. She'll go ahead and read the words for you this Sabbath, and then by God's grace, we'll be able to sing it for you all the next time. God's willing. Okay, Haley, go ahead.
So this poem is called Haley's Song for God We Love. And we love is the name of the song. We love God. God loves us. We love God every day, but especially on his Sabbath day. We sing songs for him, and he knows what is best for us. Do you know that God died for us? So that we do not have to die. We pray to God, we love God, and thank you for God for living us all. Amen.
Amen. And looks like she got the melody as she was about to sing it, to say it. Amen.
God is able, dear sister. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Emma and Haley, for what the Lord had placed in your heart. And we are so grateful that you share it with us. Now you can share it with all the ones that you love, even your little friends, if you have the time. What a wonderful, wonderful, the lyrics, especially for the song. Very special to be able to know that's true. If there's anybody else that would like to share what their little blessings in their home, what God had done with them, you can have the moment to be able to share as you open the mic.
I'm thanking the Lord again for keeping me safe from this winter weather storm and preserving again the electricity and letting nothing break or any damage done to our house, none at all. It was very windy last night and very cold.
Praise the Lord, Sister Shaka, and we are so grateful that the Lord has done that for you as well. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
This is the section, dear ones, that we are going to review our Tiny Talks reading from last Sabbath, from the story about Jesus, chapter 11, entitled Sabbath Keeping, Part 3, and our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And 3:15. And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus' baptism. He went to John and says, I need to be baptized. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Not a letter, not the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T will change. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And in James 2:8 and Isaiah 42:21, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Next slide. The Savior showed how unreasonable they were by asking them a question. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? This they could not answer. So he said, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Matthew 12:11-12. It is lawful, that it is according to the law. Jesus never reproved the Jews for keeping the law of God, or for honoring the Sabbath. On the contrary, he ever upheld the law in all its completeness. Isaiah prophesied of Christ, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. Isaiah 42:21. To magnify is to make larger, to raise to a higher position, to help us understand it better. Next slide, please. Christ magnified the law by showing in every part of its wonderful meaning. He showed that it is to be obeyed not only in the actions which are seen by men, but in the thoughts which are known only to God. To those who claim that he came to set aside the law, he says, I think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. Matthew 5:17. To fulfill means to keep or perform. James 2:8. So when he came to be baptized by John the Baptist, he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:15. To fulfill the law is to obey it perfectly. God's law can never be changed, for Christ said, to heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. It won't even be changed in a letter. That's Matthew 5:18 and taken from Story of Jesus, page 70 and 71.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 4 of our chapter in our lesson entitled Sabbath Keeping in our Tiny Tot Lesson Book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place on March 4th, 2023. And now I will pass the mic back to our dear brother so he can be able to ask the questions for the review.
All right. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. That's Matthew 5:17. What does it mean to fulfill?
To keep it or to uphold it, to perform it.
Yes. What does it take to fulfill the law?
To be obedient to the law. So, as we've mentioned in the question number 2, to upkeep the law, to uphold it. That's what we do to fulfill it, to obey it perfectly.
That's right. Obedience is the very way to show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands. Doing it happily. You ever ask the children to do something and they say, I'll be most happy to. That's the right attitude. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And then it's spelled out here. O-B-E-D-I-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
Amen. So we're going to sing this little song that maybe could help the little children to remember. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly as the Lord commands. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Now how to spell it? O-B-E-D-I-N-C. Obedience is the very best way. Show that you believe. When my son used to be small, and whenever I would talk to him about doing something and it kind of got a little bit like antsy, I would start singing this song, and then at the end we're singing it together, and he goes and do what he has to do in the name of Jesus. I just wanted to share that testimony as well. So, dear ones, it's time for Tiny Thoughts from Parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. So, this is our part 30. It seems to be a lot, but Christ is the water of life. This is our water topic, and our dear brother, Josh, will be able to share the review section with us.
Blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning water. The Water of Life, Part 30, Review. Lesson number 2. Read John 4, 49, 50, and the Desire of Ages, pages 198 to 199. And the two verses say, the noble man saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way. Thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And here's the story concerning that. Research, perseverance. Like a flash of light, the Savior's words to the nobleman laid bare his heart. He saw that his motives in seeking Jesus were selfish. His vacillating faith appeared to him in its true character. In deep distress, he realized that his doubt might cost the life of his son. He knew that he was in the presence of one who could read the thoughts, and to whom all things were possible. In an agony of supplication, he cried, Sir, come down, ere my child die. His faith took hold upon Christ, as did Jacob when wrestling with the angel. He cried, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Genesis 32:26. Like Jacob, he prevailed. The Savior cannot withdraw from the soul that clings to him, pleading its great need. Go thy way, he said. Thy son liveth. The nobleman left the Savior's presence with a peace and joy he had never known before. Not only did he believe that his son would be restored, but with strong confidence, he trusted in Christ as the Redeemer. The Desire of Ages, page 198-299. To those who don't know the word perseverance, a perseverance is sticking to a godly purpose or aim and never giving up what God is leading you to do. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Job 17:9. Uh, And the tree that we'll be learning briefly along with a lot of lessons about the redwood rooted, the coast redwood. The drier the ground is, the deeper roots must go down. Jesus is like a root out of a dry ground. Isaiah 53:2. He went very deep into spiritual truth at a time when there was spiritual drought in Israel. The noble man became rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Colossians 2:7. These trees grow up to 370 feet high and 17 feet wide. Imagine their root structure. It's got to be as large as the tree itself. Here are 11 facts about the coast redwoods. They can live for more than 2,000 years. That's two millennia. They stand more than 300 feet tall. They're epiphytes. They use to host geese. Their roots are intertwined. Their bark is up to 12 inches thick. In the summer, they rely on fog for moisture. They have tiny pine cones. They have ghost helpers. In other words, tiny plants that grow on them in order to live. Seem visible like to them. They were once international, but now they're only just found in California and the other states on the west. They help fight our climate crisis, as all the other trees do. Among the forests of coast redwoods, there are around 400 small redwoods that are completely stripped of color. Having launched some scientists, is, so to speak, recent research likely explains what's going on. The so-called ghost redwoods were found to be full of cadmium, copper, nickel, and other noxious metals. It's believed that the wan trees are in a symbiotic relationship with their healthy neighbors, acting as a reservoir for poison in exchange for the sugar they need to survive. And continuing our reference reading for the large topic of our Tiny Talks Lesson Review, Chapter 20, Except You See Signs and Wonders, Part 2. Continuing, at the same hour, the watchers beside the dying child held in the home at Capernaum beheld a sudden and mysterious change. The shadow of death was lifted from the sufferer's face. The flush of fever gave place to the soft glow of returning health. The dim eyes brightened with intelligence, and strength returned to the feeble, emaciated frame. No signs of his malady lingered about the child. His burning flesh had become soft and moist, and he sank into a quiet sleep. The fever had left him in the very heat of the day. The family were amazed, and great was the rejoicing. Desire of Ages, page 199, paragraph 1. Next slide, please. Cana was not so far from Capernaum, but that the officer might have reached his home on the evening after his interview with Jesus. But he did not hasten on the homeward journey. It was not until the next morning that he reached Capernaum. What a homecoming was that. When he went to find Jesus, his heart was heavy with sorrow. The sunshine seemed cruel to him, the songs of the birds a mockery. How different his feelings now. All nature wears a new aspect. He sees with new eyes. As he journeys in the quiet of the early morning, all nature seems to be praising God with him. While he is still some distance from his own dwelling, servants come out to meet him, anxious to relieve the suspense they are sure he must feel. He shows no surprise at the news they bring, for the depth of interest they cannot know, he asks at what hour the child began to mend. They answer, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. At the very moment when the father said, grasped the assurance, thy son liveth, divine love touched the dying child. The Desire of Ages, page 199, paragraph 2. Desire of Ages. Here are your bonus questions. Review. What question one? What did the noble man say? Find the answer in John 4:49. Two. How did Jesus respond? Find the answer in John 4:50. And question three, what does it mean to persevere? I'll return it back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brothers. Remember, little ones, for us to remember the blessed Sabbath. Seis días para trabajar, el séptimo es de Cristo. En él debemos descansar, pues pertenece a Cristo. Y uno, dos y nuevo, tres. El cuarto, el cinco y uno, seis. Pues no debemos de olvidar que el séptimo es de Cristo. One, two, three, four, five, six for us. One, two, three, four, five, six for us. One, two, three, four, five, six for us. The seventh is for Jesus. Welcome to all the precious family that join us in the room, for those that are just coming in, and those listening in other devices and later on recording. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, I Will Follow Thee. You can find it also in the hymn book, 266. If you would like to be able to share the hymn, you may be able to unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoever my life may be. Where thy goings I will follow, yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed blood for me, and thought all men should forsake thee. By thy grace, I'll follow thee.
Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as the foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou dost shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I follow thee. Though I meet with tribulations, sorely tempted though I be, I remember thou wast tempted and rejoice to follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior, thou didst shed thy blood for me, and though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Though thou longest me for affliction, or forsaken though I'll be, thou wast destitute and afflicted, and thy own follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and thou woman should forsake thee by thy grace. I'll follow thee.
Amen. Go to Jordan's rolling billows, cold and deep thou leadest me. Thou hast crossed the wave before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Beautiful, dear ones. If anyone of the elder sibling, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to be able to open our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Hello, blessing everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up this morning. And thank you for the Sabbath every day. Thank you for people who are here on the Sabbath. And you can really use my hand that they can come back to the Sabbath. They don't really well. And thank you for the sacrament. If you should really pray, amen.
Amen.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Ages, in our Value 3 CD. And the scripture is Hebrews chapter 7:25. And our dear brother will be able to share it in the room for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to be able to reread part one of our lesson entitled Judas Part 3 in our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
The Desire of Ages, page 718. Notwithstanding the Savior's own teaching, Judas was continually advancing the idea that Christ would reign as king in Jerusalem. At the feeding of the 5,000, he tried to bring this about. On this occasion, Judas assisted in distributing the food to the hungry multitude. He had an opportunity to see the benefit which it was in his power to impart to others. Continue on the next slide, please. Continuing, he felt the satisfaction that always comes in service to God. He helped to bring the sick and suffering from among the multitude to Christ. He saw what relief, what joy and gladness come to human hearts through the healing power of the Restorer. He might have comprehended the methods of Christ. And I'll bubble down so that someone else could share as we continue on the next slide.
And continuing, The Desire of Ages, page 718, paragraph 2. But he was blinded by his own flesh, by his own selfish desires. Judas was to first take advantage of the enthusiasm excited by the miracle of the loaves. It was he who set on foot the project to take Christ by force and make him king. His hopes were high. His disappointment was bitter. The Desire of Ages, page 718, paragraph 2.
Christ's discourse in the synagogue concerning the bread of life was the turning point in the history of Judas. He heard the words, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." John 6:53. He saw that Christ was offering spiritual rather than worldly good. Next slide, please. Continuing. He regarded himself as foresighted and thought he could see Jesus would have no honor and that he could bestow no high position upon his followers. He determined not to unite himself so closely to Christ, but that he could draw away. He would watch, and he did watch. Desire of Ages, page 719, paragraph 1. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 719. From that time, he expressed doubts that confused the disciples. He introduced controversies and misleading sentiments, repeating the arguments urged by the scribes and Pharisees against the claims of Christ. All the little and large troubles and crosses, the difficulties and the apparent hindrances to the advancement of the gospel, Judas interpreted as evidences against its truthfulness. Next slide, please.
Continuing, he will introduce texts of scriptures that had no connection with the truths Christ was presenting. These texts, separated from their connection, perplexed the disciples and increased the discouragement that was constantly pressing upon them. Yet all this was done by Judas in such a way as to make it appear that he was conscientious. Next slide, please.
Continuing, and while the disciples were searching for evidence to confirm the words of the great teacher, Judas would lead them almost imperceptibly on another track. Thus, in a very religious and apparently wise way, he was presenting matters in a different light from that in which Jesus had given them, and attaching to his words a meaning that he had not conveyed. Continue on the next slide, please. His suggestions were constantly exciting an ambitious desire for temporal preferment, and thus turning the disciples from the important things they should have considered. The dissension as to which of them should be greatest was generally excited by Judas. The Desire of Ages, page 719, paragraph 2.
When Jesus presented to the rich young ruler the condition of discipleship, Judas was displeased. He thought that a mistake had been made. If such men as this ruler could be connected with the believers, they would help sustain Christ's cause. If Judas were only received as a counselor, he thought he could suggest many plans for the advantage of the little church. His principles and methods
would differ somewhat from Christ, but in these things he thought himself wiser than Christ. The Desire of Ages, page 719, paragraph 3.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So let us continue to consider the section taking on the thought of 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version, and his memory verse song as well. O sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, what have we learned and ways we have grown? Here we have the 6 questions that we hold unto the time of our review. I hope and pray you are able to share what the Lord had given you on your answers of this 6 question. For those that cannot see the screen, I'm going to read it out, that maybe if you are moved to be able to share with the Dear Remnant family, you will be able to do so. Number 1, who is the main character or characters of this part of our story? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one, what did you learn from this lesson? You may be able to use your mic to be able to share, dear ones. Who would like to take the first one?
The answer to number 1, who is the main character? Here we see the section of the story is focused on Judas, but we also have the disciples as well as the main character.
The answer to question 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Judas's thoughts about Christ in times past. The answer to question 3, where did the story take place? Well, it took place in 3 places. The first in the desert place, where the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish occurred, the synagogue, and the coast of Judea with the young ruler.
When did the story begin? Number 4. The section of the story we saw was taking place because it's first, this has been something that was stirring in Judas' heart, and we saw brought out in the sections before that he had met with them to counsel in regards to what he was planning to do in selling our Savior. And I think it came to light even more at the upper chamber as they were doing the Last Supper.
How I could relate to the story, well, Judas' selfish nature of such a view of Jesus' goal to serve others and to give his life for them, but he kept picturing him as a ruler or conqueror who will drive the Romans away and give people the freedom that they should have from a long time ago.
And number 6, what?
Go ahead, sister.
Thank you. And number 6, it asks, what did you learn from this lesson? Even though I read this story in the Bible before, But I only remember of just a few things, maybe one or two things that Judas had did before the crucifixion of Christ. I didn't realize that there were so many other things that Judas had did prior to the crucifixion of Christ. And this story explained it.
I would like to add to that, in that what I'm learning and learn is that as we are invited by the Lord to join his discipleship, we must be so careful to check our person, our flesh at the door and let God lead the way. If it is that we believe in God, which we do, then what we think, what we want to do, our plans, everything is secondary. God will be done. And I think I can grow on this and really expand and completely take over your whole life even. So, yeah, thanks. Amen.
Amen. That's along the same lines, Tia Grace, that I was going to bubble up and say too. Truly here, we see just how great of a worker Judas could have been. And as the story brought out before, that had that been before his return to Jerusalem, it had been the last, if he had died before this last trip, he would have went down in history as not in the way that he did. And truly, we really have to keep our eyes upon Christ and away from ourselves, to not be so blinded. But we know that we can only get that, we can only be able to do this by the imparting of the Holy Spirit to lead us. And we have to ask the Lord and submit our will to the Lord, that he may lead us and guide us, and truly not trusting into our own understanding, not even for a little moment. Because if we have a slight bit of doubt, we have an opening for the enemy to come and sit and sap with us. And this is something that any one of us could succumb to. Any one of us could fall to, because it takes just one thing that we think that we have overcome for us to let go of the hem of the garment of the Lord for even a second and take our eyes off of him, for us to be able to fall into this type of temptation and trial. It is very, very, very solemn, very important for us to be able to ask the Lord and plead with him for what is will for us to do, but in doing so, pray that the Holy Spirit will be able to lead and guide us in all things.
Amen. If anyone would like to continue to be able to share, we still have times, you know, when we have in between the service or even after, because this particular lesson is very meaty. But I would like to just share what I have focused on, especially with the life of Judah. In the Bible, it tells you that he was just a betrayer. But in this lessons that we are learning in this particular chapter, you can see how broad in his own experience, the Lord was trying to draw him. And even though he had the doubts and in his own thoughts and mind, what was going on, the very manifestation that was going around him was really answering. But what was his fear is that he wouldn't draw to the only one that could have the answer to everything that he was asking. And it's not because he couldn't, it's because he didn't want it to change what it was that he already had in plan. And by withdrawing himself from the Savior, that's how he also threw himself away from the path. And he went directly to the ones that could be able to help him to be able to remain with the same misguidedness that he had. He went to the very individuals that were seeking a way to entrap the Lord, to stop him from actually doing the mission. And by joining himself with them, it even took him to the point of even losing his life. One of the things then that I would like to be able to share and understand, all things in our life experience, no matter how small, no matter how it may seem to you insignificant, it is significant for the Lord. For he came to be able to save us to the uttermost. So that means that in our own experience, there are things that happen to us. Don't shy away from the trials. Don't shy away from the controversy. For this controversy, believe it or not, or even the trial, is actually saying, daughter or son, run to me. I'm calling you. In other words, those things was done so you can run at the feet of your Savior, not only for safety, but to understand how to navigate the circumstances at hand. I have a testimony concerning similar to what had happened, and I won't do it. Please, somebody remind me to be able to share it. And it happened to me actually yesterday that I can relate to this, the story about Judas. If there's anybody else that would like to share, you can be able to do so, dear ones. We are going to continue in our study, dear ones. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. This is the section that we're going to share our thoughts, our poems, and also special music. The thought is entitled, God's Love is Greater Than Life Itself. And you can be able to find this quote in the Ministry of Healing. But especially I found this particular quote in February 8th, entitled With God at Dawn, page 41, paragraph 1 to 3. If any one of the dear ones would like to take the opening of the scripture for a reading, may you unmute your mic.
John 15:13. King's Version. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his and for his friends. Christ gave no stinted service. He did not measure his work by hours. His time, his heart, his soul, and strength were given to labor for the benefit of humanity. Through weary days he toiled, and through long nights he bent in prayer for grace and endurance that he might do a larger work. With strong crying and tears he sent his petitions to heaven, that his human nature might be strengthened, that he might be braced to meet the wily foe and all his deceptive workings, and fortified to fulfill his missions of uplifting humanity. To his workers he says, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. John 13:15. Mystery Human, page 500, paragraph 4.
Continuing. The love of Christ, as Paul constraineth us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. This was the actuating principle of his conduct. It was his motive. It was his motive power. If ever his ardor in the path of duty flagged for a moment, one glance at the cross caused him to gird up anew the loins of his mind and press forward in the way of self-denial. Amen.
Continuing. In his labors for his brethren, he relied much upon the manifestation of infinite love in the sacrifice of Christ with its subduing, constraining power. Singleness of purpose. In the life of Christ, everything was made subordinate to his work, the great work of redemption which he came to accomplish, and the same devotion, the same self-denial and sacrifice, the same subjection to the claims of the Word of God is to be manifest in his disciples. Everyone who accepts Christ as his personal Savior we long for the privilege of serving God, contemplating what heaven has done for him. His heart is moved with boundless love and adoring gratitude. He is eager to signalize his gratitude by devoting his abilities to God's service. He longs to show his love for Christ and for his purchased possession. He covets toil, hardship, sacrifice. The infinite love of God has been manifested in the gift of his only begotten Son to redeem a lost race. From the Ministry of Healing, chapter 42, Development and Service. I think that's also from the Patriarchs and Prophets 469, paragraph 2.
Amen. And you can find it also in Ministry of Healing, page 500, paragraph 4, and also through 502, paragraph 3. Now, dear ones, we have the sharing of the poem, and this is a three-part poem, and is entitled The Daily Life of a Christian Child, from the section where the nobleman's son became a Christian child. You could find this in Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, from Lesson 10, page 274, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first part, dear ones?
Number one. Come hither, little Christian, and hearken unto me. I teach you what the daily life of a Christian child should be. When Christian child awaken, he should think of God in heaven and softly say, I thank thee, Lord, for the sleep which thou hast given. Amen.
He must say, when he ariseth from evil and from harm, defend thy little child, O Lord, with thine everlasting arm. Then dressing very quietly, the Christian child should say, with thy spotless robe of righteousness, Lord, clothe my soul, I pray.
Number three. He reverently kneeleth to pray beside his bed with closed eyes and humble voice, his earnest prayers are said. As he thus approacheth the God of heaven above, God looketh down and smileth on this little child in love.
He goeth to his chamber, to his work, or to his play. But the prayers that he hath prayed, he must keep in mind all day. He hath asked to be obedient, and so he must fulfill his parents' wishes cheerfully, with a glad mind and will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to share our special music entitled from that chapter, John 15:13, King James Version. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man. Greater love has no man. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down on his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15 verse 13, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If there's any testimony that you would like to share, dear ones, you may be able to continue to do so right after the services. For I think I went up a little bit over. But by God's grace, I hope everyone was blessed, dear ones. So next week, we will continue with part 4 of our lesson entitled Judas in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear remnant family, little ones, mommies or daddies would like to close our review section of our family with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed day. We thank you for the children's Sabbath school's lessons. We thank you for the children and the participation. We thank you for their parents. May you pour on a blessing upon them. Thank you for our sister Rose that puts on the children's lesson every Sabbath so beautifully. Thank you, Lord, for her. Bless and keep her. Be with us as we move on to the next section of the lessons. Continue to bless us. Be with the speaker. Bless him and keep him as well. Thank you, Lord, again for all the blessings in this Sabbath day. In all the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Next Sabbath, dear ones, we will have our new lesson, 377, chapter 76, entitled Judas, part 4, and that will take place on March 4, 2023. Dear ones, the first project that was sent, I pray by God's grace that you may be able to discard it because I didn't change the dates for the next lesson. So we will be receiving another copy of the updated ones, including with the songs that the dear little ones had shared that the Lord had placed in their heart. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, and may God bless.